Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're going to be talking about all of our WNST sponsors here during the holiday season, certainly through Black Friday and the buying season, as it were. Lots of local businesses out there. We want them all supported, including our friends at Fadley's. If you're shipping crab cakes anywhere in the world, it's one click away now at the front of BaltimorePositive.com. They're delicious. It makes me in the mood for it right now. I got like an hour after this segment. I'm thinking, can I run over to Lexington Market? If I do, you will see those pictures up on our Facebook and our Twitter and our social media. I owe myself a Fadley's crab cake and some of those French fries and the little tomatoes and the coleslaw. Also, our friends at State Fair and El Guapo. I had Evan Brown on this week, talking about the difficulties of opening an incredible Mexican Latin restaurant with great tequila and margaritas in the middle of a pandemic. They're still curbsiding. We know we have some conditions right now. Civically, we're trying to take care of our local business owners. Order some carry out. The tacos, the quesadillas will be delicious. And I know the chicken and waffles over at State Fair as well. Also, our friends at Moeller & Gary Realty. Jeff Moeller is going to be listing our condo some point here before the spring. We get our place cleaned up here downtown. So we're going to have Jeff on talking about the conditions. Jeff and I have been Zooming a little bit more than even his dad knows about. Don Moeller is here right now. Don, I want you to jump out in front of the Taharka promotion here because we're going to be talking about it next week. And Taharka Brothers and WNST and our Baltimore Positive community coming together to deliver this ice cream at a discount. Sort of the one thing we're doing here for the holidays. And I know at this time, you're a little bummed about this Thanksgiving thing. We all need a little comfort right now. And what provides comfort more than eggnog ice cream?
Well, there's no doubt. And as I've told you, Nestor, it is the one thing that when folks say to me, they'll come up to me all the time and they'll say, that ice cream that Nestor talks about, that Taharka, is it really good? And if Linda's with me, the nice thing is, since she's the ice cream aficionado, she'll say, you know what? It really is spectacular.
Make sure you get the honey graham in there.
It's
amazing. If you're ordering them, because they're 8-packs. You get 8. It's like walking into the parlor and you get to pick 8 different ice creams. So it feels really good when you order it. It's going to be $40, $15.70 off. And, you know, we talk about local and buying local and the importance of local. You and I've had kind of a fun week here mixing and matching. We had our Senators on last week. You can find all that at BaltimorePositive.com. But at heart, you're local, and there's nothing more local to you than this segment, right?
Well, because it's where it matters, Nestor. It's where, you know, it's interesting as we get ready to introduce our next guest, the President of the United States. In his recent book and in his interviews promoting his book, Barack Obama talks about, you know, local government and where the rubber really meets the road and where you can move beyond partisanship. And we're going to talk about all of that with somebody I've known for a long time, a good buddy, Delegate Kathy Forbes from District 42A in Baltimore County. Kathy, welcome to Baltimore Positive.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me today. I love your show. I'm a frequent listener.
Well, half of it's really good. I'll let you decide which half that is. 42A. Tell me about 42A.
Well, I like to call it 42 Awesome.
There you go.
It is the core of Towson and all the really engaged neighborhoods that surround it. We count among my constituents Towson University, Goucher College, St. Joe's Medical Center, Shepherd Pratt, GBMC, and all of these really committed neighborhoods who care about where they live, where they celebrate Halloween in big ways, where they have community picnics. It just is it's a great place to live. I chose to raise my family here because of the walkability. I was living in Baltimore City and loved being able to walk there. And I found a place where I could walk my kids to the library. I could walk my kids to the grocery store. We have a park at the end of the street. And, we know our neighbors. I feel like when people want to live this close to their neighbors, it's because they want to be in a community.
Well, we're not going to broadcast your address, but we will say that for those folks that know you, Nestor, Kathy lives, if there is a quintessential Towson or Baltimore County street, it is where Kathy lives. Is it safe to say, Kathy, that there's at least pre-COVID, I'll say, and we'll eventually be post-COVID, there's not an event or a holiday that goes uncelebrated as a community on your street. Is that safe to say?
So that is safe to say. And I'm happy to be part of all of it.
Well, you know, my radio tower sits in you know, where you are located and where you represent. And we talk so much about, look, I live downtown now, and it really has been a weird 6 month period where we don't get out to Towson much, you know, and the things that move us around, the events that move us around, all the things that, I mean, again, my property, my investment, all of that is in your district, our district, right? But I think people moving about a little bit, we all have become a little bit more homebound, the kids downstairs around the corner doing stuff. And I think we've all tried to maybe get to know our neighbors a little bit more, maybe order food from somebody down the street, maybe try a place we haven't been to for a while, because I think there is a little bit of like a barn raising going on here, community by community, because I think we realized we built Baltimore Positive 2 years ago. The reason we did it is if we're not taking care of our own, nobody's coming. DC's not coming to save us. Neither's Annapolis in your case, right?
One of the best events that happened during this pandemic for my community was something called a Walk Among the Music. And Ellen Troyer, who is a violinist at the BSO, is a neighbor of mine. And she put it up on Facebook and said, who wants to come out and play some music? And she put people in designated sites all around our neighborhood. And you walked through and spent 3 or 4 minutes listening to different people playing on porches and front lawns. It was amazing. It was amazing.
Boy, what a great example of what Nestor was talking about. I love that term. Nestor, you know, every now and then I pick on you, but every now and then you do come up with a good one. The barn raising analogy for where we are in a pandemic. You ought to try to, you know, trademark that one. That's a pretty
good one. Well, that's how we built NST back in 1998 when I found this little radio station down the side of the road. We called it a barn raising. Like, literally, we ask everybody in the community to come help us lift something up. And I think everyone individually, when this is over with, is going to need some sort of help, right? Whether it's emotional, spiritual, getting out, even PTAs might get along when this is all over, get back in a room and where, you know, but finding sort of commonality when all this is over with is going to be about, I'm from Towson, I'm from this neighborhood, this is where my kid goes to school, this is where we hopefully go back and play Little League or soccer or church or whatever those things that bring people together. You know, I think it's all going to be a local issue.
Well, Nestor, that's a great jumping off point for where I want to ask Kathy to jump in, because all of the things you just described are the ways that I met Kathy Forbes years ago. And Kathy, folks who've known you for a long time, you know, you're a mom, you're a wife, you were, you know, you didn't wake up 20 years ago and say, I'm going to be a delegate, I'm going to Annapolis, I'm going to the State House. You got involved in your community. The way I know you certainly is an education advocate along with other community issues, but not everyone chooses to do that. So walk us through that journey as to how young mom Kathy Forbes decides, rather than just do all the things that moms do to make ends meet, said, I'm also going to get involved and become an advocate. How does that happen?
I think when an issue lands at your door, I mean, I was always involved in whatever opportunities there were, whether it was like the preschool Thanksgiving day collection for hungry families or the PTA, taking my job at the PTA. But when my son was a kindergartner at Rogers Forge Elementary School, it was the most overcrowded school in the state of Maryland. And all the adjacent schools were also overcrowded and there wasn't a plan to do anything about it. And so I collected information and I shared it with people, because part of organizing your community is making sure you're all dealing with the same facts. Like, this is the situation, this is the problem, and we really need to ask our government for a
solution.
That's
never been more clear than it is today. You can say that one twice, right?
Kathy, give me a history lesson. I'm trying to go back now. Is that the famous yard signs?
The 451 signs?
451. Tell me.
Let me say it again. The four elementary schools that serve the core of Towson are 451 students overcrowded today, growing to over 800 in 5 years.
Nestor, I was out there. I was on the other side. You couldn't drive anywhere without seeing a 451 sign. Jim Smith and I, wherever we would go during the day, there was a 451 sign. And Kathy Forbes was
the squeaky wheel gets the oil and government, right? I mean, you saw the issue, right, Don? And then the issue gets debated, and then maybe the issue gets shot down or it gets handled, right? Like, this is how we do democracy. We do better local government, right?
Well, it's funny. Senator Barbara Hoffman taught me years ago that democracy is messy. It's messy. You got to get in there. And
full
you have
contact
to stand
sport,
up.
Right? There we go.
It is. And what I try to teach people is participatory. Your voice is important. And if you don't speak up and if you don't tell your elected officials what's important to you and why it's important to you, you're going to get the government you deserve.
Kathy, I've used you and your compatriots out there, and you know who I'm talking about. I use you as examples a lot of time when activists in different places across the county, it happened not long ago on an issue that I'm thinking very specifically about, and they were getting some pushback. And part of the issue was they were getting pushback, I thought, because of the tone and the attitude that was being presented. And what I say to folks, and I use you as an example and others, is there were certainly times when you beat me up and you beat Kevin up and you beat Jim up right on down the list. But it always seemed to me, and I want you to talk about this a little bit, because I think it really is an important civics lesson, and Nestor likes the civics lessons parts of this, is that despite beating us up from time to time, you always maintained a seat at the table and access, because you knew how to beat people up, but at the same time, keep lines of communication open. Is that an accurate description, Kathy?
Well, I've never been a bomb thrower. Like, my point in advocating for like schools or kids was to get something accomplished. And so if I just berate you, I mean, I have a list of that I published for advocates. And one of them is like, don't tell people like I pay your salary, you know, like that's just not productive. So I'm always looking for productive conversations. And I'm always hoping that even if my issue doesn't go forward now, or even if I don't win this battle, that we keep talking, because I think the way you behave when you lose is just as important as how you behave when you win. Yeah. Like, you just have to keep going, because if it's important to you and you really want to achieve this goal, and you might not get it might not be exactly what you want in the end, but if you want to achieve it, you have to keep those lines of communication open.
Nestor, the other, what I'll call trademark Kathy Forbes way to operate is, I call them the come with notebooks. Kathy Forbes never comes to a meeting without reams of data to support her position. And Kathy, that's the other thing that I was always so impressed by in terms of dealing with you and others in your circle out there. I can remember specifically, I would say periodically to folks at the school system when, and again, it was a good relationship with the school system, but I say to them, because I knew you were going there after you came to us on the mezzanine, you were heading over to Greenwood. And I can remember saying, guys, I'm just telling you up front, her data looks pretty solid, so you better crunch the numbers. Where does that love for data and that specificity come from?
Well, information is power. Like, if you have the facts on your side, and you may not, the first person you present them to may not be able to help you, but the more people you educate on it, the more people you have singing in your choir. And that's kind of what we did. We kept explaining to people what our community deserved and why it was necessary, because, and we'll go back to like the air conditioning issue. People would say all the time, well, our schools weren't air conditioned when my kids went to school, then there's no need, Ridgely needs air conditioning. So you'd have to explain to them that the building had been renovated without air conditioning for air conditioning with windows that didn't open and insulated ceilings. So it's that constant educating. And Barack Obama talked about it in Dreams from My Father, about the person-to-person education of people whenever you're leading a movement, to make sure you're all dealing with the same facts. And then someone will bring some other bit of information into it. Like, we have a lot of architects and engineers in our community who would come to me with ideas, and then that becomes part of your argument. You know, it's just, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I'm just thinking of so many meetings that we had, and how you took that approach. And then you have this opportunity to decide whether or not to transition from mom, community activist, education advocate, and whether you take and put all of that to work in Annapolis. You get appointed to fill a seat vacated by Delegate Lafferty. Talk about the transition for us. Was it what you expected when you got to the hallowed ground down there in Annapolis?
Well, it is an awesome honor. And what I would say is, I do it as a community. There's still a lot of community advocate in me. It takes a lot of listening and a lot of, like, everyone. Something that really struck me in my first session was that everyone who wanted to talk to me had something really important to share with me. And I remembered times when I had meetings with elected officials, and I have this desperate situation of my kid in this really overcrowded school and no one, and the time that they gave me and how important that was to me from sitting on that side of the desk. And so I take that with me to Annapolis.
It's amazing. You were doing overcrowding before we had social distancing, right? So, you know, from taking the gig and being a part of this, now COVID and all of the issues that it has brought forth for Don and I sit here and talk about budgets and taxes and revenue and things that will be open and things that will be closed and essential services and all of these things. For the next couple of months, certainly from where we are here heading into Thanksgiving, and Don has lamented, though he'll have great ice cream on Thanksgiving, and all of his family can have great ice cream. They can't all have it together next week. And there's a lot of angst, obviously, in our community at this point. Speak to the changes you've seen over the last 6 months, and everyone trying to hold on to this thing and get us through this winter and get us safely to whenever this vaccine is, for all facets of our life right now.
So for my seat as a delegate, there isn't an area where there isn't something on fire. You know, the unemployment issues, the hunger issues, connecting people with services. In any conversation, you have a family, or you have someone who's a family member's passed away and they didn't get to celebrate the life of that person in a funeral and be with people they love. I mean, it really has taken away so many opportunities for people. And it's getting old. Like, when the governor spoke the other day and talked really frankly about what we need to do in coming months and said those ominous words that, like, the worst is, we haven't seen the worst yet, which was really hard because in the spring, you know, the days were getting longer and we're like, oh, we're all in it together. And it's just hard to look forward to months that we won't be together.
You know, Kathy, it's, and I know, boy, Nestor has opined on this over and over and over again. It's so frustrating because, you know, the governor came out, and regardless of what you feel about Larry Hogan on a variety of issues, for the most part, he's gotten high marks on this. I think there's some valid criticism of his efforts to work with local government. For some reason, he appears to have shut out local county executives and mayors, and that's a little disappointing. But getting back to the other day, again, in the state's effort and the county's efforts to try to limit gatherings and say, look, I know you all, and Nestor, he points my situation at as well. I mean, people who know me, I love Thanksgiving. It's far and away my favorite holiday. We typically have almost 40 people. This year, we're going to have two.
Yeah, I usually come over around 6:30 and wreck it, you know.
And get what's left, right. So we're going to have two, Linda and me. And I thought, it's painful, but I get it. It's the right thing to do. And I happened to see, I won't mention who it was, but someone that probably the three of us know today on their social media stream just attack the governor on the thought that we would even think about asking people to limit their gatherings. And then 40 or 50 people attacking the governor on how stupid it is to even suggest that people. And I'm thinking, Kathy, I continue to try to come to grips with, when did fighting a pandemic become such a political issue that people get enraged almost as if we're choosing political sides? Do you hear that as a delegate? Do you get embroiled in that?
Well, I do believe like the best way to get through this would be like the federal government helping the states and the states helping the locals and them all working in some sort of concert together. You know, like, that would be our best case. We didn't really get that from the outset. And I feel like when you hear like the superintendent of the Baltimore City Schools saying she's negotiating prices of testing, like that really shouldn't have been her job.
Right.
Like, she's got a different job. So
and that's not going to change, Kathy, for the next 65 days. Right?
I know. And so whatever we can do to work together, and the science part of it, like I'm going to trust an epidemiologist in this case, because that's what they study and that's what they know. And so I encourage people to listen to the science in this.
There are days I wake up and I think, you know, my education was superior over in Eastern Baltimore County, but I paid attention in science class, and you know, I had a long conversation with Todd Schuller. You can go find that out. One of our great sponsors as well this week about science and the greater understanding of the citizenry of it. And to my point, I never made it to biology in ninth grade, right? Mr. Shulman never taught me there, because I sort of quacked that around ninth grade and went into the writing side of things and the journalism side. And so I don't have any more of a greater scientific knowledge than anybody else, but I know enough to listen to the scientists, right? Like, literally, that was what we were taught to do, was listen to people that were smarter than us. This has been a very, very difficult time, I think, for communication for a lot of people about the science part of this, because to your point, you have constituents, I have friends, Don has friends that will be gathering next week, middle fingers flying, saying we're having Thanksgiving at our house, and something bad might happen, something bad might not happen, but bad things are going to happen all over if that happens in this country next week.
Listen, I had a reporter recently tell me that they were out doing a story. And I mean, this is the environment that we have to figure out how to get through. They were out doing a story and someone came up to them, obviously a supporter of the president, and started, and they were doing a local story. This was a local news story. And someone came up and started to scream at them and call them fake news and say that the virus was all trumped up by the media, and then got right in their face and started to breathe as hard as they could, like pretending to infect them. I mean, this is not normal stuff, guys. This is not normal stuff.
It isn't. And years ago, I saw PM Forney speak on choosing civility, and he thought that was necessary then. Like, what we're seeing today is just reprehensible. Like, the way people treat each other, and like there are very good things that have come from social media. Some of the community organizing, like I did a food drive in 24 hours. I got 3,000 food items delivered to my front porch because we needed them for a food distribution on Friday. So it's good for those things. But those arguments that you're never going to win on social media that devolve into the gutter are just not, they're not yeah. good.
They're not productive, you know, and,
right.
and, you know, in every way. And I would say at this point for all of us, as we go into this thing, we're really going into sort of an uncharted sort of area for all of us. And I think for government, and certainly for local government during this transition as well, right? You said every part of it's on fire. And I guess it's a little bit of a whack-a-mole game for all of you trying to get us to the other side of this, literally.
And be there for people. I mean, there are things that the government does well. And one of the first things I really applaud the Olszewski administration for the food distributions they've done. Because imagine not knowing what you were going to feed your kids tomorrow morning. And imagine that someone can give you a box of fresh produce, a dozen eggs, a gallon of milk, and some food. And so there's one of your worries lifted.
Well, you know, Kathy, you mentioned County Executive Olszewski's effort to get food to folks. I know one of the organizations that's near and dear to your heart is the Student Support Network, and you've been there from the beginning. Tell our listeners, and again, we're with Delegate Kathy Forbes, Delegate 42A out in the Towson area. Tell us a little bit about the Student Support Network, and there may be folks out there who want to get involved in it but don't know about it. So tell us what it is.
Okay, so Student Support Network is a hyper-local charity started by Lori Taylor Mitchell, and she recognized food insecurity and people that were borderline poverty and trying to just getting by in Baltimore County and in the Baltimore County public schools. She started with her first comfort closet at Lock Raven High School, and it was a closet where kids who could walk into the closet and shop for free for anything they needed, whether it was deodorant, toothpaste, laundry detergent. If you're not aware, if you're on public assistance, food stamps, SNAP benefits, you can't use any of those monies for toiletries. So you don't have enough money to buy food, and you're given some money to buy food, but you certainly don't have enough money to buy Tide, you know, like laundry detergent, deodorant, tampons, those things. And so her comfort closets have spread to like 11 schools in Baltimore County, and they're manned by both school faculty, like staff at the school, and community volunteers that make sure those closets are always full. When the schools closed in March and those closets closed, Lori knew their new need was going to be great. And she started a weekly food distribution at Parkville High School and Owings Mills High School. And our lines were so long, we opened a third, and I run that site at Lock Raven Technical Academy every Friday from 11 to 1. Whoever pulls up, we welcome them. We make sure they get food and they get essential items, and we do whatever we can for them.
How do people? So, where does the funding for this? Because a lot of time, what we try to tell these stories. I mean, that's really what Baltimore Positive, as Nestor said, it really came out of the belief that there were people doing great things to make a difference, and they weren't sitting around waiting for someone else to do it. How do folks?
Who's that at Lock Raven High School, Don? This is 50 feet from my front door, literally.
There you go. How does it get funded? How do people get involved if they're driving around right now and they go, I gotta feel better about something. I want to help support the Student Support Network. How do they do that?
Their website, studentsupportnetwork.org. You can donate your time. You can donate your money. You can donate items, and all the information on how to do those things are on their website.
So it doesn't get much easier than that. Kathy, but before we let you get out of here, one of the things we hear all the time, people are fed up, and I don't know that they always believe it, but they're fed up with partisanship. A lot of times you'll get this pox on both their houses. Nobody's willing to work together. Nobody's willing to put partisanship aside. Pull the curtain back for us in Annapolis. Is that true in Annapolis when you got down there, or is there an ability to work across party lines to do what I call the people's work?
So the gridlock in Washington, D.C. hasn't set in Annapolis yet. I mean, I was welcomed by members of both parties from all across the state. I had the privilege of working with these people that come to Annapolis with all these different life stories and different views. It was an awesome experience for me. The other thing is, as an elected official, when people call me for help, I don't ask if they're a Democrat or a Republican. I just try to help them. And I believe in my heart that is true of my colleagues in Annapolis.
I hope that's true across the country, right? Like I've never really heard it put that way. I mean, I've never heard an elected official say that you don't ask, you don't care, you don't know. I'd like to think if you're a Republican in California, you can still pick up the phone and get help, right? Or, you know, vice versa,
absolutely.
Democrat in Alabama, right?
Right.
Kath, we can't let you get out of here as an education advocate, as a mom, we try to talk to everybody who's had these experiences. And it's more in the news than ever with New York City just shutting down again, 300,000 students. Give us your take from both perspectives, a parent's take on trying to make virtual ed work, and then your concerns about virtual ed, because I know you and I have talked offline. My concern, particularly about children who don't have the same resources as others, when we come out of this on the other side, I'm really afraid that we're going to see disparities in a way that we've never seen them before.
So we knew there are inequities in the system going into this. Like, we knew that Kerwin, like, blew the lid off that. We knew it, but then we saw it, like, with the work of the Kerwin Commission. And I agree with you. There, on the first day of school, like, my Facebook feed is filled with kids who have parents who have set their kids up in offices and stuff. And my friend left the Target in Cockeysville and saw a little boy with his school laptop trying to get on Wi-Fi, leaning against Padonia International Elementary School. And another girl was sitting there. She didn't have a BCPS device, so she was trying to get on to school with her mom's phone. Like, the inequities are great, and we will have to do work to fix that. I mean, the whole thing is bad. Like, there's not, like, someone put it to me, when bad things happen. And the pandemic is bad, and it has affected education in ways, both the stress on families, the stress on teachers, and the kids, we don't know where they are. You know, that's what keeps me up at night.
You know, Kathy, I've watched, Nestor's heard me say it, you know, because I've posted about it. I've watched particularly one of my grandsons come over almost daily since the school year began to work with Linda, work with his grandmom, who was a teacher, and watch the progress that he's made and his willingness to do it, and thinking to myself, this is an advantage. And we've got to recognize,
you're professionals, for crying out loud.
This isn't happening. And even as I pointed out, Kathy, for the professionals, for those with education backgrounds, getting comfortable with the education in the digital age and accessing, as you said, all of the stuff available at Baltimore County requires some level of work. It's not just something that anybody can just say, you know, I'm going to go ahead. And it would be like saying to me, if I went out today and worked, or Nestor said he needs an electrician. By the way, Nestor, we'll talk offline. I've got a great electrician for you. But if somebody said to me today, go out with the electrician, hey, Don, things are going to be different. I need you to go out and wire the house, or I need you to go out and replumb that house. I wouldn't have a clue where to begin. And it's just very different. And we basically have said to thousands of people all across the state and the nation, now we need you to help and teachers have killed themselves. I think the work of teachers has been remarkable, Kathy.
And a lot of those teachers are parents themselves. So they have kids in their own homes that they're trying to manage their own children in this educational process. It's just not really, it isn't ideal. And there were no perfect solutions to this crisis. Yeah.
Well, there was no plan for this, and there was no handbook for any of us. You know, I think we're all trying to make our way through. Kathy Forbes joining us here, 42A local. Doesn't get any more local than that, Don Moeller.
No, it doesn't. And before we let Kathy run and get back to all the hard work she's doing, Kathy, what should we expect in Annapolis? Seems to me there's going to be budget talks. We've got vetoes to discuss whether to override. I mean, I know you're talking to your colleagues all of the time. We're only about 2 months out. What should we expect as citizens?
Our budget looks better than we ever anticipated it would look, but there'll be hard decisions to make going forward. I believe we should continue capital spending because that's what keeps the wheels moving, keeps businesses in the supply chains, businesses going. It's gonna, we don't really know, we're not on the other end of it yet. So we're still in the thick of it. So we're going to be making conservative decisions to make sure that we do, this does as the least harm that it can do.
Boy, Kathy, you just made a point as we move to wrap it up here. I don't know that I've heard others make it. I'm going to encourage you to make it over and over and share it with your colleagues, is that the Built to Learn Act, which was also vetoed by the governor going along with Kerwin, which is the school construction component, not only is it good for education, not only is it necessary on that side in terms of taking care of our infrastructure, but your suggestion right there, but Don, it's also a stimulus bill. This puts people to work. I think that's a powerful point, Kathy. I haven't heard enough people make that. Is that being talked about in Annapolis in that way?
Well, I learned that from my chairwoman, the esteemed Maggie McIntosh, because she's this
one of our best friends.
This is the third economic downturn that she's been in Annapolis. And she said the first time we cut equally in capital and operating, and we double dipped into a recession. And so she goes, we learned the second time we need to keep capital going.
Well, thanks to our buddy Maggie McIntosh for pushing that ball, because that's going to be critical. Kath, it's been great to have you as Nestor gets ready to take us out here. Keep up the good work, not only in Annapolis, but with the things like Student Support Network, folks.
I pulled this up here because I was, you know, listen, this is one of the things, Kathy, when Don's here, he's like a teacher, so I have to pay attention, take notes. I know you were PTA as well, so I was paying attention here. This is just incredible work you guys are doing. I want to make sure we spotlight the Student Support Network. You can go to studentsupportnetwork.org. This is totally local, right? I looked at it. I thought this might be a national thing. It's just here.
This came out of Lori Taylor Mitchell's brain, and it has grown and grown. And it is so supported by our community because it is hyperlocal. Every dime she makes into a dollar, and your money is going right here to our neighborhood.
Look at that, Wise Markets. Rob Santoni is one of my good, dear friends. He was out doing this last week. I didn't realize it was for you. How about that?
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Make the wise choice there, everybody. Fullerton Plaza. Get over there. Honk the horn at Rob Santoni. Find him before he runs out of toilet paper. That's a little inside joke there for him.
He's a very good friend of the network. He gave
That's
us
great.
Early on gift cards.
Well, text him right now and tell him that we're promoting him on Baltimore Positive. I'll give him a shout out too. You know, I got a roast that I picked up out at his place we're going to be making this weekend here. So it's all good. Kathy, really appreciate all your work you do on behalf of our neighborhood and our friends and our people here. And it was great to have you on. And we appreciate that you're a supporter of Baltimore Positive as well. And we appreciate that you like at least half of it.
Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving to both of you.
You too,
and
Kath.
Keep it positive.
We'll be on the other side at one point. Thanks, Kathy.
On behalf of former Baltimore County Executive Don Moeller, I am Nestor Aparicio. You can find all of our sports stuff at WNST Baltimore Positive now. We have a whole sports section for all of the news stuff we're doing, the local stuff, the art stuff, the rock and roll stuff, the political stuff, and trying to lift our community through some education about education. I am Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, 42A. And we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.